So poop is a weird thing to talk about. It makes us laugh, right? It makes us all uncomfortable and weird and whatever. And we can't focus because the pastor just said poop, you know? So then you got to tell somebody that I said poop. So how many of you guys have dogs? You guys are familiar with poop then, right? Your dog's poop, right? That happens. So I had the last dog that I had named Hunter. He was such a good dog. He never, like, he was super potty trained, never had problems with any of that, never messed in the house. And I was out, my dad and I were hanging out and just taking the dog for a walk. So we're like in one of those deep, like, father-son conversations. It's really serious, you know, and we're like bonding. It's this awesome time and we're just walking the dog and we stop and we're thinking about, I don't even remember what, but it was all deep and we're just like, And as we're thinking, all of a sudden I get this like warm rush. I'm like, man, that's a good thought. And I'm like, wait a minute. The warm rush isn't from the thought. It's my leg. And I start to feel like it got really, really hot. And I look down and there's my dog. And he's in like a full athletic stance, you know, like the legs all the way up and it's spraying like a fire hose. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of pressure. It's just like blasting my leg. And I'm like, what are you? He apparently thought my leg was the tree and he soaked my leg as we're sitting there talking. There's trees everywhere. I'm like, bro, pick a tree. I'm not a tree, you know, but he peed all over me. Animals, like it can go sideways real quick with animals. Have you ever tried to train a dog not to like mess in the house or do something like that? What do you have to do? Anyone know? You don't beat them. No, that's animal cruelty. Call PETA. Call PETA. No, so like if your dog messes in the house, what you do is you take the dog over to where he messed. You take his head and you like kind of put it toward it so he can see it and smell it. And you point at it. You're like, no, a whole bunch of times. This ain't really mean. And hopefully he doesn't do it again, right? So in the passage tonight, listen, in the passage tonight, there's a bunch of people that we've been seeing. As we're walking through Malachi, God's talking to the people of Israel. Specifically right now to their priests, because the priests are in charge of teaching these people how to follow God. And they're not doing their job very well. As a matter of fact, they're not respecting God. They're giving God second best. Like, they're trash. Not even second best. Like, the worst that they have. They're finding their worst animals for sacrifices. And they're not really going to God with a full heart. They're just saying, man, let's just get this done. Let's keep the good stuff for ourselves, God. And here, you have this. And that's a sacrifice. So in this next part, this next passage that we're looking at tonight, you guys can open to Malachi if you have your Bibles or your phones. Check out the book of Malachi. And we're now in chapter 2. And we're looking at verses 1 to 9. And here's where God turns to these priests and he tells them, he basically takes their little heads and brings them up to their mess. And he puts their head down in it and he's like, listen, no. Like, no. Stop doing this. Stop worshiping me like that. Stop disrespecting me. I'm the king of the universe, and you think you can just throw your table scraps at me? No. I won't accept what you're offering me. And it actually gets a little graphic, like I said, and we're going to talk about poop in a second, because God gets piping hot mad at these guys, and he literally says he's going to rub their faces in some poop. All right? So let's kind of walk through this together tonight. Look at verse 1. It says, and now, O priests, there's God talking to him. This command is for you. He's like, don't be squirreling around like trying to sneak out the back door. Listen to me. This is for you. I don't know where you're at tonight, but God could be saying through this passage right now to some of us, I think he's saying it to all of us, this command is for you. So before you go, oh man, I hope one of my friends who's sitting in the back or way up front, like they know who they are. I hope they're listening to what Rob's about to say because they need to hear this. God's like, hey, No. I'm talking to you. I want you to listen to me tonight. I want you to hear what I have to say. And it's not going to be easy and your heart's going to be mad for a minute, a little bit. And it might take a second for you to kind of take in what God's saying. Because you're going to want to push back, but I want to encourage you to listen. Push back your own pride and say, hey, maybe I'm not perfect here. Maybe I do have something tonight I need to learn. And it might be uncomfortable, but God, I'm going to open my heart up to you tonight. I'm going to just listen to you. This command, God, is for me. So I want you to say that right now in your hearts to God, not out loud, just in your heart, to say, God, I'm listening. God, I'm taking this from you to me tonight. And he says this, if you will not listen, I hope we're listening, right? if you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, he says the Lord of hosts, then I'll send the curse upon you and I will curse your blessings. See, God wants a real relationship with you. He doesn't want some empty religion. He doesn't want you just to come to youth group or church so you can cross off your list that you did something. He doesn't want you to volunteer to serve or feed homeless people just so you can feel more spiritual. He's not interested in just that. What God wants is a real relationship with you. And so many of us sit around and we're like, man, I'm bored with God. I don't get this. I don't feel close to him. But it's because you're trying to do the other thing. You're trying to do the thing that's like, oh, I'll just do this religion. God's like, no, I want a relationship. I want you to wake up and enjoy me. I want you to wake up and go, hey, God, what are we doing today? Hey, God, how am I going to spend my day with you? What miracles are you going to do? What are you going to show me today? What am I going to find in your word to learn about you? It's going to blow my mind today, God. You wake up with that passion to be with him, to be like, God, I can't wait to spend the day with you. Can't wait to be at your side, to serve you, to let you push me out there and try new things and let you hold my hand as I try it. And if I fail, you're going to pick me back up. Or do you just look and you wake up and you're like, oh man, I got to follow a bunch of rules again today. I'm going to try to break this Bible open. I probably won't though. And a couple weeks are going to go by and then months and years. And eventually, do I even study the Bible anymore? Like, have you ever been in that boat? Because it's just rules for you. But God's like, no. I want a relationship with you. I want you to take me to heart. I want you to give honor to my name by the way you interact with me and love me and are excited about being my child. Are you excited about that? And you know how excited God is every time you open your eyes to be like, come on, let's go. Spend the day with me. He just wants you to look back and go, come on, all right, God, like I'm ready. Let's do this. Stop offering him empty things and start offering him all of your heart and say, let's go, God. I want to honor you with everything I am. Get rid of the empty routines. Get rid of the religion and just accept God. Be his. Enjoy him. And then he says this. He says, indeed, I've already cursed them because you don't lay it to heart. God knows everything. He's already ahead of the game here. He knows what is going on inside of their hearts. And as he looks at you tonight, you might think you're sitting there and you're like fooling them. Or maybe you're fooling me or your life group leader or your friends. And tonight you're just like, yeah, they think I'm like good with God. But really, God knows the truth. God's looking right through you into your heart and he sees what you feel. He sees how you look at him. He sees the excitement or not based on what he sees as he's looking into your heart. And he's like, hey, listen, I want the real thing. I want all of you. I want to enjoy you. But he knew about these people. He's like, listen, you're already cursed because you don't lay it to heart. You don't look at me with a full heart saying, take all of me, God. You don't love me. Remember, he started off this whole book by saying, I've loved you. I have loved you. And now he's like, man, I know you don't love me. You're a bunch of priests and you're over here and you're coming and bringing sacrifices and you're killing these animals and you're going through the routine and you're putting them on the altar and the people are watching you and they're like, oh good, look at these spiritual leaders. Like if it were today, like look at these pastors, these church leaders, you know, that would be like how they saw it. And they're coming to the temple doing this and it's a bunch of empty people walking around on a stage. Their life isn't marked by people who are in love with Jesus. People who are out in their community, loving people, welcoming them into their homes, serving people, not out of duty, but because they can't wait to spend time with God. It's a real relationship. And he's looking, he's like, you're not those people. You're the empty people on the stage. I don't need more empty people. I want people that love me, that want to be my children. And he says, behold, I will rebuke your offspring. Like your children, you're like, this is going to be a curse on you and spread dung on your faces. That's where the poop comes in. God's like, I'm going to take poop and I'm going to rub it in your face. Wow. If it wasn't God saying it to a bunch of disrespectful people, it would almost make me giggle. But instead it makes me sick to my stomach. thinking that at the times where I treat God this way, I know what he's saying to me is, Rob, I just want to take some poop and rub it in your face right now. But it's not that simple. You need to understand what this is here. He says, the dung of your offerings, and you should be taken away with it. And so what's happening is you need to know a little bit about this time period. These priests, what they had to do is clean out the inside of the animal. Like all of the poop and the waste products and the insides would be taken out. It would be cleaned and prepped before it would ever be brought to be sacrificed. They take the best of the best, no blemishes, these perfect animals, and they clean them and they clean all the waste out. But these guys weren't even doing that, right? These guys were just grabbing the junkiest ones, not cleaning them, and throwing them up there on the altar. And this poop that they cleaned out of the animals, they would have to take it outside the city and burn it. They weren't even allowed to burn it in the city because it was considered unclean. It represented something. You know what it represented? Our sin. It was a way for God to paint a picture for us. So that when we saw it, as the people looked and saw these priests clean out all that waste, that garbage, that filth, and they'd take it out of that animal and leave the animal clean, they'd bring the waste outside the temple, outside the city, and they'd burn it far away. And it was a picture of Jesus coming in and taking us. Right? Jesus was that sacrifice, and he would take our waste, our sin, and he would carry it outside the city. Far away, as far as the east is from the west, our waste and sin would be burned up. Totally forgotten. God wouldn't see it anymore. And so when these priests were doing this, you know what they were actually saying? What they were teaching to the people? God doesn't really take care of your sin. Jesus, he's not enough. We're just going to throw this nasty animal up there. We're not even going to clean it out, sin and all, poop and all. And so they're making a mockery of God's picture of salvation that takes you, a broken person, and me, a broken person, and it forgives us all of our sin. And it makes us right so we can have this relationship with God. So we can wake up and go, God, let's spend the day together. I can't wait. Come on. But it's because Jesus has taken our sin away. He took it outside the cities. It took it out of our lives, and he burned it up. But these guys weren't doing that. So what God's saying here is he's going to take that poop. That sin, that grossness that they didn't take care of, and he's going to rub it all over these priests. And you know what that would mean for the priest? He'd have to leave the city. He's got that waste on him, and that waste has to go. And if his face is covered in this poop from this sacrifice, he's going to leave the temple and leave the city and be cleaned. What God's telling them is, you can't serve me. Unless you're going to give me your whole heart. Can't sit in sin and think it's okay and excuse it and live a life that's like almost totally in sin, but then you're like, but I go to church. But I wear Christian t-shirts, but like I go to youth group. But I still live in sin and I love it and I embrace sin over here. And God, don't tell me to stop. I like this stuff too much. And God's like, you can't serve me. You can't serve me with a filthy heart. You can't serve me if you're holding on to everything in your life and not giving it over to me. You'll be too distracted. You'll be too busy. You're grabbing on to everything else and you're forgetting me. So he's like, if you don't do this, I'm taking the dung and I'm rubbing it in your face and you're not going to be able to be my priests. You're going to have to leave the temple. You have to leave the city and be cleansed. And when you're ready, you can come back. Where are you at tonight? As you sit before God and he looks at you, have you given him your sin? Have you handed over your heart? All of it? Or are there sins that you're clinging so strong to that God's looking at you and he's like, listen, you can't serve me like that. I can't minister this way. I got to take you out of the city and we got to clean you. Jesus has died to take all that away. So will you take it and give it to Jesus? Tonight, will you say, look, I've been holding on to this stuff and I need to get rid of it. I need to say, God, take all of me, the best of me, the worst of me, the whole deal. Take it all. Clean me and make me someone that can serve you, Jesus. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking like, man, I'm never going to be perfect. I can't ever serve Jesus then. He's not saying you have to be perfect. He's saying you have to be in a position of sacrifice. Like, God, I know I'm not perfect. God, I know there's filth in me and I need you to take it. And as you're in that posture where you're handing it to God, you might not be perfect, but you're in a position where God says, now I can clean that up. Now I'll step in. Now I'm going to honor this covenant that we have, and I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you in ways you could never expect, ways you never imagined. You're going to wake up and be like, how did this happen? And God's like, it was me. It was me. He's not going to sit back and just watch. God's not that type of God who's going to just watch you sit in your uncleanness and your filth and just be okay with it. God's going to step in. He's going to act. He's going to discipline. He's going to cause your eyes to fall back on him so you want and desire a real relationship with him. Something real, something vibrant, something alive, and not just empty religion. He says this, so shall you know that I've sent this command to you, that my covenant with Levi may stand, says the Lord of hosts. He brings up this priest called Levi, who is this awesome example of a faithful minister of God. He wants him to think about Levi for a second. This guy who loved Jesus, who loved God, sorry, and he loved his word. God is Jesus is God. We'll talk about that later. Okay. And he says this, my covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave them to him. This promise between God and Levi, do you hear what it was about? It was about empty religion and habits, right? Routines, ceremonies. No, it was about life and peace. Don't you guys want that? Isn't life a really good thing? Isn't peace a really good thing? And this is what God's offering if you hand your heart over to him. This is what he offered Levi. It was a covenant of fear, he says, and he feared me. He stood in awe of my name. You see, Levi's relationship with God was so incredible because he saw how amazing God was that it caused him to worship. He'd look at God and just be like, I can't believe it. Like, you're awesome. You're amazing. And he would respond in worship. How do you view God? If I were to sit down just one-on-one with you tonight, we went out back after this thing. We sat on that little half wall and we had a convo, you and me. And I was like, hey, how's your relationship with God? How you doing in a relationship with God? Now, I'm not talking about the religion side of it, but like you and God, how are you tonight? How would you assess that? What would you tell me? What would your answer be? Are you looking at God like someone who loves you enough to send his only son to die for you? God who's reaching out to you and just begging you to come to respond to his call? Or are you looking at God as some distant thing who just gives you a bunch of rules? This empty religion that you're going to just kind of do because everyone else is doing it? Or are you spending time with him? You're like opening his word and you're studying in the mornings and you're praying and you're talking to him and you're living your days and your moments with Jesus. Man, I'm praying it's a second. And if it's not, I'm praying that he helps you so it becomes the second. So we have a point to grow into that because I want that relationship for you. I want you to know what that's like to have a relationship like that with God. It's awesome. The first one stinks. It's worse than that dung we talked about. It's terrible. It's boring. It's tedious. It's empty. But a real relationship with God, when you're walking through your days with him, when you're spending your moments interacting and talking and hearing him, watching him work, it blows your mind. It's amazing. That's the relationship I want you to know because I have that with God. Your leaders, probably most of them have that with God. So I want you to be able to stop and sit with him and say, what's that like? How can I have that? That's why we're here. We want you to know that. And that's exactly what God is offering to these guys in this passage. Like, I want this real thing. I want to give you life. I want to give you peace. I want you to be able to respond in worship. And look at what he says about Levi. He says the coolest thing. True instruction was in his mouth, and no wrong was found on his lips. He knew God's word. If you think, like a lot of churches are preaching today, that you could just like be cool with Jesus but not know anything about the Bible, it's wrong. He says right here, you need to know God's word. You need to be in God's word. Read it. I know you're probably like tired of reading because you go to school and they make you read lots of stuff. Listen to it then. Put a little podcast on and listen to the word. But do what you got to do to get into God's word and hear about him and learn about him. It says that Levi knew God's word. That's how he was able to have this. Second, he says this, no wrong was found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He didn't just know the word. He lived it out. He walked it with God. That's the part a lot of us don't have. We try the first part. We're like, yeah, I got this new study plan. It's on like Bible Gateway or whatever you use. And you're like, sweet, this is awesome. You get through 2 weeks and you're like, oh, I'm so bored. Like, you don't want to read it anymore. It feels like a history assignment. Because you're not taking it and going, huh, let me try this today. Let me live this out today. Let me see how this works in real life. Come on, God, show me, teach me. I learned this morning. Today, I want to spend my day focused on this truth I just learned. And you start to walk with God and see how he's teaching it to you through the day. And all of a sudden, God shows up and you're like, whoa. At first, you probably won't even expect it because you're kind of like, I don't know if he's really going to be there. And he shows up and you're like, wait a minute, that was just God. And then you go to your friends and like, you're insane. You're like, no, I just saw God. You're like, no, you're insane. You're crazy. You're being that crazy like Bible person. You're like, I can't help it. I just saw Jesus interact in my life. It's crazy, but it's awesome. So it happens. You live it out and you see God work and move. And you're like, he's as real as this dude in front of me. He's more real. He's here. He's all over the place and he's in my life. And you're living out the truth he just taught you in scripture. That's what Levi did. In a real relationship, not just a study relationship. He lived out these things and he saw God move. And you know what happens? I just described it. You get so excited when you see God in those moments, you can't help but go tell people. You don't care if you think they think you're crazy at that point because you know what you saw. And you're like, I have to share this with other people. And that's exactly what it says here. He turned many from iniquity. Levi studied it. He walked with God and then he went and he told other people, God's stinking awesome. You have to know him. You have to follow what he says. It's going to change your life. It's just changed mine. This is crazy. Man, that's the relationship he wants. He compared this dung relationship of these other priests to one of a dude who was upright, loved Jesus, loved God's word. And he's like, that's what I want for you. I want you to know my word, live it out, and share it with other people. I want it to fill up your life and have a real personal relationship with you. He said, listen to this part though, right? Because that's the good stuff. But listen to this. For the lips of a priest should guard knowledge, and people should seek instruction from his mouth, for he's the messenger of the Lord of hosts. And you're like, Rob, I'm not a priest. What are you talking to me about that for tonight? Why is that so important? I'm never going to be a priest or a pastor or whatever, so I don't need to do that, right? Well, 1 Peter 2:9 in the New Testament, it says this about people who believe in Christ. And if that's you tonight, you believe in Christ, this is about you. Ready? He says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know that Jesus makes you a priest. You're like, I'm not a priest. No, you are. Jesus made you a priest. You're part of his royal priesthood. Your job is to take the good news of Jesus and bring it to a lost and dying world. That's what priests do. And you as a follower of Christ are now called to do that. And so this passage, even when he says the lips of a priest, you're like, I'm not one. No, you are. You're a New Testament priest of Jesus Christ if you believe in him. And it says that your lips should guard knowledge. Like you should know God's word and you should be uncompromised in it. When your school starts to tell you stuff that you know is against what your Bible says, you should say, I'm uncompromising in this. I'm not backing off this. It says it in scripture, I believe them over my teachers and my principals and my school board. If your church ever came to you and said things that weren't what your Bible says, you should say, I'm not compromising in this. You should know the word. You should teach the word. You should bring me to this passage if I ever get up here on this stage and teach you heresy. You should bring it back to Malachi chapter 2 and say, Rob, you're not doing this. Because God wrote this love letter for you. So you would know it. So you could guard that truth and say, I'm not compromising. This world is saying all sorts of sin is okay, but the Bible says it's not. Don't compromise. Don't let them tell you what's right or wrong. God has already done that. Guard it as one of Jesus' priests. He said, people should seek instruction from his mouth because he's a messenger. It's your job to tell them. So if you're like, I mean, I don't want to cause trouble though. You know, like I'm one of those people, I'd rather just let them do their thing and I'll just sit over here nice and quiet. It's cool. He's like, no, your job as my priest is to let people know the truth. You can't sit back in a corner and just avoid it. You need to speak up for it. You need to be strong about it. You need to say, no, I see it right here in God's word. This is the truth. This is what we'll follow. And I'm not shying away from it. That's what he's calling us to do tonight, y'all. And he says this next, listen, here's what they did. But you've turned aside from the way. They stopped doing that. You've caused many to stumble by your instruction. They're just letting people sin and they're not saying a thing about it. It's easier to let your friends do what you know is wrong than say something and then maybe they don't want to be your friend anymore. You just lost your friend group, right? You ever been in a place where you're like, man, I don't even know if I was going to try to be friends with people who really love Jesus. I don't even know who I'd pick in this particular group. Like, I don't see many people that really act like they love Christ. Have you ever been in that situation? Maybe he's not calling you to do that. Maybe he's calling you to be a light to those people that you see all around you. Maybe he's calling you to bring that truth and say, no, this is wrong. And you might reject me for saying it, but I know that the Bible says it. Like, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be strong in this because Jesus has called me to do it. I'm not going to just let you say sin is okay because it's not. See, they didn't know the word. They weren't living in the word and they weren't sharing it with other people like Levi. And so these guys were taking God and just treating him like some empty religion. And that's why they were giving them the junky sacrifices and the dung, and because they didn't really care. So when he said, hey, you guys don't love me, he was right. Do you really love the Lord tonight? Would you sit here and say it, but then still live a certain way that doesn't display it? Because I think that's what these guys were doing. You might need a Malachi tonight to come up to you and say, listen, you say you love him, but you're not living it. Do you need to wake up tonight and say, God, here's the whole thing. I've been holding it all back. I want you to have my heart. I want you to have my life, the whole thing. Other things have been way too important to me, God. I want you more than anything else. He says this as he closes. He says, you've corrupted the covenant of Levi. You took this promise and you just broke it, says the Lord of hosts. So I make you despised and abased before all the people. And as much as you don't keep my ways, but show partiality in your instruction. These guys were writing their own version of Christianity. It was their own thing. Let me just write it the way I think it'd be best, the way people want it to be. So they're happy and they like keep giving their tithes and their offerings and whatever. Like, we can still eat because people are good. We're not going to convict them of their sin. We're not going to say a word about it. We weren't called to that. We were called to know God's word, to live it for ourselves, and to share it with other people. Are you living in the truth? And are you proclaiming the truth to the people around you? Uncompromised. God's word is God's word. When we don't do that, he says literally, poop's going to fly. God's going to respond. He's going to step into your life. And he's going to wake you up. I'd rather be on the other side, you know? Where tonight I go, God, before that has to happen, before that extreme comes, I just want you to take my heart tonight. I want you to have all of it. You guys pray with me for a second? As your eyes are closed, we just take a second to ask God, like, God, how do you see our relationship? God, are we good? Are there things in my life that I'm still not handing you, Lord? Will you show me right now and just convict me of those areas? Make it apparent to me so I could see it. Would you ask God to show you what sins you're holding on to that you need to let go of tonight? Will you ask Him to give you the courage to do that? To let go? To repent and give it to Him? In that spirit of prayer, will you guys just, still with your eyes closed, will you just stand up and sing this with us? Keep just asking God, Lord, as we sing, will you just convict my heart?